But first I wanted to tell you a poem that also came to me as I was walking back in here. See, I believe in having things come to you. So, and then of course, which is which of all the things that come to you? A friend of mine said he had practiced Zen for many years trying to be here and now, and after 20 years it felt like kind of a box. Why wouldn't you be everywhere always? And the problem with everywhere as always is you get kind of spaced out, and there's so much going on. So, and what would you really give your attention to? So, this is an interesting kind of study. How open. But it's similar also to widening your perception. So perception isn't just this narrow piece. And in the Vipassana practice I've done, for instance, you're recommended that you practice when you're eating, you practice chew, chew, chew. Maybe occasionally you practice taste. But you never make the note to yourself, savor. Why wouldn't you note savoring? You know, and then what about enjoying? Are you enjoying your... No, we don't do that enjoyment thing. We're just chewing and swallowing. So, after a while sometimes, this is why sometimes I think Buddhists can be feel kind of dried up, you know, so to speak. Anyway, I'm going to tell you a poem. This is a poem by a friend of mine who lives in the same town I do, Fairfax, California. Her name is Kay Ryan, and this last year she was the United States Poet Laureate. This is after many years of not having success with her poems, you know, lots of rejections, and one day she decided to change her mailbox. She'd had a little metal or brown mailbox, and she decided she would put in a big, bright red mailbox. And then the acceptance letters started coming. Isn't this mysterious? So, this poem appeared in the New Yorker, and I liked it a lot, so I memorized it. It's called On the Nature of Understanding. On the Nature of Understanding. And you'll probably see maybe a few resonances with Buddhist practice and moving along and getting somewhere in your life, etc. So, say you hoped to tame something wild. Say you hoped to tame something wild and remain calm and inched up day by day. Things went along. You made progress, understanding it would be a lengthy process, sensing changes in your hair and nails. So it's strange when it attacks. You thought you had a deal. Anyway, I like that. it reminds me of in Zen, there's a tradition of the Zen 10 Zen ox herding pictures in the sense of taming the ox. And again, if you think about our culture and then most of our lives, we think that we're the rider, and the rider who's up here in the head will tame the rest of this, which obviously needs taming. Because if you let it do what it wanted to, the mind is strong, the body is weak, you know, the body will... Did you believe that? It's actually the mind that's weak and the body that's strong. But the mind in its strength tells the body what to do so severely that at some point the body says, I'm out of here, I'm sorry, I'm not going to behave the way you tell me to, because I can't just do what you want all the time. Anyway, we actually have this huge energy, like an ox, like an animal. Some people call it like an elephant. And the elephant doesn't turn around very easily, you know, and doesn't always go where you tell it to, and sometimes it wants to stop and eat the grass. But I'm now reading a book like about horses. The Tao of Equus, an extraordinary book about how much you can learn from horses, about what's underneath in your own mind and the depth of being that you can have and the kind of connection you can have. And now they're doing, a lot of people are doing therapy with horses to help people who are disturbed, etc., etc. But anyway, we have this being, and there's a lot of energy here, a lot of energy and insight and wisdom and sensing. We sense feelings in our second chakra, and it's called empathy, or, you know, empathic. People who are empaths, when you're empathic, you feel what's in the room. Some people hear, and they hear music, they hear sound. Some people see, the third eye. And you can develop all of these. Some may be more natural to develop, but you can, so especially the ones that you might be more gifted with, you can develop. So, if you're thinking about, so I had a lot of experience, I don't know how I got onto this, but you see, one thing leads to another. And this is why at some point we hit the bell, that's it. So you can listen to your own damn voices. But you know, when I first started sitting, I couldn't sit still. After about 2 years, I was calm, I was focused, I was centered. And then I'd be sitting there going, and of course, you know, what do you do in that situation? When you encounter misbehavior, stop that. So I'd be shaking, and I could stop it here, and then I'd be shaking. I couldn't stop it everywhere at the same time. You know, and then people say, get a grip on yourself. And I couldn't get a grip everywhere. And people were kind of upset at me, with me, my fellow students. And the teachers didn't know what to do. Do you understand? And the more you tell yourself, sit still. This is important. This is, and one day, for instance, here's an example. One day I was sitting like this, and all of a sudden I was sitting like this. Wait a minute. No, we're not sitting like that. We are like sitting like this. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. But this is spiritual. I don't care. But it's what we're doing here. So what? And then, so I was going like this. And finally I said to myself, well, have it your way. And then after a while, I had this sort of sense like, excuse me, but could we sit up a little bit? The only reason you're this far back is because you were so fixated on being like this, and then something in you goes, no. Uh-uh. And so I realized then, it was that I was too rigid about sitting up straight. Not that I was sitting up straight. So then if you start asking your hips, instead of telling them, we're going to sit up straight, that's what's spiritual, then you can ask, is this where you're happy? Is this? Are you going to be happy sitting back here like this? No? Okay, well, let's up a little bit more. So where would you like to sit? And you can ask your body, you know, what would you like? What can I do for you? And we do this so little. Mostly it's about, I'm in charge here. I'm going to give out the directives. I'm going to tell you what to do. And you're my body. You're not somebody else's. So you will do what I tell you. And then, of course, your body will complain and eventually break down, because your body does its best to do what you tell it, but at some point it says, screw you, I'm out of here. So I had to study. And, you know, another example of this, one day I was sitting, and there's this voice that goes, this is really stupid. It's meditation. But it's really stupid. No, this is a spiritual practice that we do here to realize awakening. And it's really stupid. And you are stupid. And I hate you for making me do this. So I had this inspiration and I thought, okay, the way that I am meditating, you find stupid. Why don't you show me how you do it? Why don't you show me how you would do it? And I felt this surge of energy. And we have this. But mostly we're going, no, no, be careful. Like, keep that, no. We're just going to be calm and peaceful, and we're going to be cheerful and buoyant. We're going to be polite and friendly. And then, this is our wild animal within, whether you call it an ox or a horse. But there's a lot, we have this huge intelligence beneath the surface, which is much more intuitive than our head. Our head is not intuitive. Our head is not empathic. Occasionally we have insights. But our body has energy, feelings, spirit, just as much or more than our head. And now there's all this study about the enteric, the brain and the intestine. You know, we know things here. You know, we have gut feelings. So it's tempting to think that meditation is a better way to get control of what's beneath the surface. But actually, the person who needs training is the driver, the rider. Lighten up. See what you can learn. And how to handle the reins and how to maybe not have reins. In the Zen ox herding picture, at one point, the rider is on the ox. And the ox is going home. And the rider is sitting there facing backwards, playing the upside-down flute with no holes. It's kind of a joy and a delight and relaxing while things go forward and move towards home. So-called home. And so it's having, at some point, very good relationship rather than the sense of, I will subdue and defeat my enemies, my resistances, so that I'm finally the perfect picture of a Buddhist. I'm going to reconnect, or sometimes we say reincarnate into your own body. And as Kabir says, there you'll find a solid place to put your feet. Think about it carefully. Don't go off somewhere else. You take the foot that could be, you know, the consciousness that could be your foot, and put that consciousness that could be your foot in your foot. And a lot of times we're just up in our heads and our consciousness doesn't get to our feet, which is why we do walking meditation and Qigong and other things and get a chance to put some consciousness that could be your foot in your feet. Okay, and we're going to sit down again. So we may have time for just one more tasting here, depending on whose clock we're going by. So probably just one more. So we're going to tackle a big one, so to speak. So we're going to focus, and this is this has various reasons for this, but we're going to focus on tasting what love is like. Okay, so we're going to sense what, if we can bring to mind, you know, each thing, so to speak, you know, has a vibration. So we have various thoughts of love, but this is like, what's the vibration or the field that love comes from, and what does that feel like? Okay. And we have this kind of capacity to, and choice, where to put attention. So we're going to put our attention on love. What does that feel like? What do you sense? So we'll do this for a little bit, and then as we have time, we'll and then maybe in the middle while we do it, and once we get, the vibration will increase in the room, and then I'll invite a few tasting comments as we just did. So again, your attention, concentration, mindfulness, focusing on love. What does that feel like? What is that from? What is the vibration? Let's see if we can strengthen this focus, concentration, just a bit more here. There's already some, the vibration of love is already in the room, and we'll just continue to deepen it a bit. Some of us have more, again, sense things more empathically, kind of physically, through sound, through sight. So you'll notice various kinds of so-called subtle phenomena which are arising in this context or sea of love. So each of us will not be having the same experience, but our own version of this experience. So just one or two words from someone at a time, what you notice. I'll start by saying my breath softened and eased and expanded. The sounds were tender and touching. Doesn't even have to be that long, but if any of you would like to share something about your tasting experience.
To me, the vibration feels much a higher frequency.
High frequency, okay.
You're reaching out from the back.
Again?
Reaching out that comes back.
The
glowing warmth.
Glowing warmth.
Also a pulsation.
Again, please.
Outward.
Outward
pulsation.
Outward pulsation.
Lightness.
Peaceful.
Melting.
Inclusiveness.
Again?
Inclusiveness.
Inclusiveness.
A place to rest.
Place to rest.
Purring.
Purity.
Connecting. Connection.
Connecting.
Completeness.
Honey. Some of you may also notice, again, depending on how this arises for you, but often there's a kind of a brightness or light. Somebody, we mentioned light. Light can also be lightweight, but also light as in color light.
Melting other emotions as well, the harsher emotions.
Melting.
Softness.
And softness.
Warmth. Dreaming.
I missed that, excuse me.
Dreaming.
Streaming.
An energy at the navel.
Is it unable?
An what? Energy at the navel.
Energy at the navel.
Expansive and colorful.
Comfort and?
No, expansive and colorful.
Expansive, colorful.
Timeless.
Okay, thank you. So just a couple things to say that I would like to say about that. That you know, each thing we have this experience. We heard the room, and you know, we experience things somewhat differently, and yet this is all a kind of clustered in this with this. Love isn't just a word, and we can sense it, feel it, taste it, and especially in this context of Buddhist practice, it doesn't depend on someone else, it doesn't depend on something else, it's not something that you get from somebody else, there's not sources of this out there that you somehow need to get this from. We each can, you know, have this capacity to cultivate our awareness, to sit down, stabilize ourselves, to ground, come back to our bodies, our breath, to bring, whether it's love or joy, to mind. And certainly with love, you know, we rest. We can rest in it. And so, you know, we're not in the... So rather than the tendency to try to manipulate or find the source outside of ourselves, we come back to ourselves, turn the light inward, come to focus on what we want, and there it is. And you have it. Not that you can keep it, but you can keep coming back to it. All right. Thank you so much. Blessings. Have a good afternoon. So it's time for our closing announcements, I believe.
Is that chanting, if you want?
Oh, chanting. That's right. Let's do a ho to end our day here. Thank you. So again... We'll chant the syllable ho, dharma, for a minute or so. Now we're in a position, you know, we can send our prayers and blessings, our love, out through the sound, out to the world. Sound has this capacity, and, you know, our intention has this capacity. Scientists now, you know, I read Larry Dossey from time to time, who talks about the healing power of prayer. Science has shown that prayer works. Doesn't depend on your religion, but And the most powerful prayer is, in a Christian sense, it would be, thy will be done. In a Buddhist sense, it's more, may the best results occur. Or I use homage to the perfection of wisdom, the lovely, the holy. It's a prayer that just says, I'm going to join my intent with the one. So anyway, Larry Dossey says, some scientists are beginning to conclude that the total number of minds in the universe is one. Each of us has an apparatus for experiencing, receiving, and connecting with this one mind, and manifesting, transmitting, and receiving this one mind in the way that we do it, our unique way of doing mind, doing the one mind. So we can't not be in connection with the one mind. Excuse me for bringing this up, but anyway. What the heck? It's words, so if the words are a problem for you, set them aside. Don't worry about it. So when we chant anyway, we're sending our prayers, blessings, love that we're feeling now. We send it out in the sound, let it go out to all beings. Okay, and especially, of course, to those that you know personally that you want to share that with. Okay, I'll hit the bell. To say also that thank you for your good-hearted practice. It's been my pleasure and honor to sit here with you today in this sacred space with all of you that we all create together. So thank you. So very touching, warming. Thank you.